Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Covering the Badgers for USA Today, Ben Wergel, and he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good morning, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Do you think the two timeouts that they did call on Gaglianone, you've been around him enough, and you know he's hit some big field goals. Did that have any icing effect on him at all, or did he just flat out miss that one?
I think he just flat out missed it. You watched the snap, you watched the hold of the football. Everything went out without a hitch. I think he just hooked it, and it was just a bad kick, and it was a fitting end to a very bad afternoon for Wisconsin. Nothing really went right, guys, offensively, defensively, or special teams. I mean, we can go right down the list. In addition to Gaglianone on special teams missing that kick, you had punt return, give up some yards by not fielding the punts, and I think that kind of hurt Wisconsin, especially in the fourth quarter. Offensively, you know, the offensive line I thought was really porous all afternoon, really did not give Alex Hornibrook or enough time in the pocket, Jonathan Taylor enough holes to run through. Alex Hornibrook did not play well. I mean, that's stating the obvious. When you don't throw any touchdown passes and you throw a nasty interception, that comes back to bite your team. And defensively, this squad is so razor thin right now in terms of their depth that when you lose arguably your best defensive pass rusher in Andrew Van Ginkel and have to replace them with a bunch of young players kind of rotating in at that position, you're going to have some coverage busts, and that's what you saw in the second half too. Being at the game, you just never felt any energy on that sideline ever. It just wasn't there. I mean, there was no rhythm. There really was no urgency at any point, it felt like. And I think that I don't want to say these players were looking ahead to Iowa. I don't believe that, but I just think that we finally saw Wisconsin play a decent opponent, and that decent opponent opened up a lot of deficiencies, a lot of holes in this roster that we thought was there after fall camp, but now we certainly know that's there, and now the rest of the Big Ten knows that's there as well going into this weekend.
Talking with Ben Wergel as the Badgers lose to BYU, have Iowa at Iowa in primetime on Saturday night. Yeah, there were some concerns. Is Hornibrook as good as he was in that Miami game? No. Can the defense be as good as they were last year? You know, probably not. The surprise, though, to me was, as you mentioned, the way that the offensive line got pushed around. I mean, that was not typical of a Badgers offensive line, and I just don't remember seeing a performance like that from this team in that part of the football for so long.
Yeah, and, you know, we got to the point where in the second half, the entire second-team offensive line was on the field, with the exception of Michael Dieter. And, you know, part of that, Paul Chris said, had to do with the heat. I mean, it was a hot afternoon there, and I'll buy that to some degree. But, you know, the other part of it, too, was Paul Chris said those guys have deserved the right to see some snaps and play, because that group, minus Michael Dieter, was not performing at a level that you would expect them to. I mean, there's a bunch of All-Americans on that line from various publications, and they were not playing like it. They were getting beat by BYU, and that needs to be a wake-up call for this group, because Iowa's defensive line is just as good, if not better, than what BYU had. So you're right, Bart. I mean, a lot of people are going to throw a lot of blame, and they're going to point the finger at Alex Hornibrook, and you know, I understand that. But the offensive line did not do its job on Saturday. They were not. That's the group that's really responsible for getting a team into a rhythm, for opening up holes for your running back. And you know, Jonathan Taylor had a decent game. I mean, he kind of gets, you know, brushed aside a little bit. He's over 100 yards. You know, he had a decent yards per carry. He was over 4, but he didn't have a carry longer than 15 yards. He never got those big gaps in the BYU defense to really kind of open up the game. And, you know, part of that, too, is blame on the quarterback. When the quarterback can't hit your targets, and can't open up the field that way, BYU is going to load up the box. So there's blame, all sorts of blame to go around offensively. It's just not on the quarterback. It's offensive line. It's the running game. It's the wide receivers. It was just a mess on Saturday.
I think the number one question as to whether or not the, you know, maybe there's a couple ones, but the number one is that, you know, can Wisconsin get back in the national championship picture? A lot of work to do, but can they do it if they ran the table? Now, the indication of the first three games are, can they take care of their own business? But is it possible, at least?
You're going to have to ask me that question on November 11th, and I'll probably be able to give you a better answer, because by that time, Wisconsin will have gone to Iowa, they would have gone to Michigan, and they're just coming off the game at Penn State. So those are your three major opponents here coming up that probably will move the needle a little bit more towards the college football playoff. There's no question that Wisconsin needs to win out. I don't think Wisconsin can survive another loss anywhere and still be in that conversation. Now, you talk to the players after the game, you know, they're discouraged for the most part. Some aren't. That's another story. But you know, a lot of these players say that their goals are still in front of them, that their goal of winning the Big Ten is still there. This is a game that they need to have a sour taste in their mouth and that they need to respond to. Otherwise, if they let BYU beat them again, meaning lose this weekend at Iowa in a tough environment, then you really need to evaluate a lot of what Wisconsin is going to do this year. This is a critical, critical game right now in late September, because you look at the Big Ten West. Nebraska is off to an 0-2 start for the first time since 57. Northwestern just lost at home to Akron, I think. Akron or Toledo? I think it was Akron.
Akron.
Illinois is bad. Minnesota is, who knows. Purdue is bad. I mean, the rest of this division is not good. It's Wisconsin, and probably right behind them is Iowa. And whoever wins this game gets a very important tiebreaker. And you look at the crossover games, Wisconsin's got a harder crossover schedule than Iowa, too. So this is a very important tie-breaking game that whoever wins this game will be in firm control of the West. So this is very important for Wisconsin to be able to figure out how to go into a tough environment where top 10, top 25 teams under the lights have lost the last couple of years. Ohio State last year, this lost to Iowa on the road, cost them a spot in the college football playoff. Penn State nearly lost, needed a touchdown with no time left to win. Michigan, who is top 5 2 years ago, lost on a last-second field goal. This is a very tough environment that Wisconsin needs to be ready for, and they need to correct a lot of those issues that popped up on Saturday in order to win.
Did I hear you say that some of the guys of the team weren't taking that loss all that difficult?
Your favorite quarterback said this loss was not discouraging at all. He said that this, because of the way this team is wired, that they will look at this as a positive and be able to bounce back from it. That comment drew a lot of criticism on social media as well. Alex was in a mood to elaborate on a lot of things on Saturday, but that was one of the things he did want to make a point on, is that, you know, how discouraged, somebody asked, how discouraging is this loss this early in the season? And he says it's not discouraging at all. It's a loss that we can learn from, we can build from, and a loss that will help us get to our end goal. Which I thought was kind of interesting, because TJ Edwards is about 15 feet away, and this is a player who, down in Chicago for Big Ten Media Day, is telling people that the goal this year for us should be a national championship. It should be nothing less than that. And TJ Edwards was very discouraged about this loss and knew that this loss was going to sting and that they would have to really build from it. But I don't think you can say that loss was encouraging in any aspect. I think for most people who watched that game, they realized that this Wisconsin team, just at least on Saturday and possibly going forward, just is not as good as we all think that they are heading into Big Ten play.
Talking with Ben Wergel here, Chuck and Winkler, the matchup on Saturday outside of the location in Iowa, what challenges might Iowa pose to Wisconsin if they can't get past BYU at home? I mean, to go into Iowa is going to be, there's a lot of concern that this could be the Badgers' second loss of the season.
Yeah, I think the big concern is going to be defensively. Wisconsin played very well a year ago against Nate Stanley and this Iowa offense. But now Nate Stanley's a year older. I think that you've seen improvement from him. Torrin Young from Monona Grove, who Wisconsin passed on in the recruiting process, has been running the ball very effectively. And I think there's still some question marks with Iowa. I mean, there are three wins have all been at home, Northern Illinois, Iowa State, and Northern Iowa. So I don't think they've exactly played a gauntlet either. But, you know, defensively, Wisconsin is just missing a lot of pieces. And I think the big issue, the big difference from Wisconsin this year and last year is in the front seven. Last year, you had some veteran, savvy, nasty pass rushers in Obashi, in James, in Sheehy. You had, you know, Jacobs and Dewey on the edges. But there was always a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And that's why Wisconsin part won this game last year. You know, Hornibrook did not play well. Josh Jackson had a couple interceptions in that game that went for touchdowns. That you look at that front, they really pressured Stanley, and they made a young quarterback make rush decisions, and that led to a lot of miscues, both turnovers and just incompletions. This year, Wisconsin doesn't really have that with this line. You haven't seen a lot of pressure and a lot of really you haven't seen a lot of quarterbacks look super uncomfortable back in the pocket. You need to do that against a Nate Stanley and an Iowa to get them off their edges. And you really need an Andrew Van Ginkel in this game. And to this point, Van Ginkel hasn't practiced much. He's still questionable. We'll get an update on him later today from head coach Paul Chris. But if you don't have Van Ginkel, that's your best pass rusher that you're not going to have. That's a huge concern going into this game to try to disrupt Iowa's offense.
Ben, we appreciate it. We'll talk next week about hopefully a 3-1 Badgers team, but we'll see.
We will see. Talk to you guys then.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.